Yudches Gimel. We are continuing our discussion of Milchemes Gog Magog, what's going to happen at the end of days when the nations of Gog Magog are going to wage war against Jewish people. So we learned in the first Pesukim that Gog Magog will come from a land that's on the other side of Kush. We said Kush simply means either India or Ethiopia. There are some rivers out there. They're going to hear word that the Jewish people have been restored to the land. They're going to want to see it firsthand. They're going to send messengers. And these messengers are going to travel in swift boats. Boats that are very light, called Chle Gomeh. And the messengers are called light messengers, Malachim Kalin. We're going to go to the nation, the Klal Yisrael, that's described here in this passage, this beautiful expression, to a nation that is Kav Kav, as we translate from the Mitzvah nation that yearns for Hashem despite the fact that Mavus they have been trampled upon. Okay, we discussed all that yesterday. Now the Pasuk Kismul says, this is a Pasuk that we say in Rosh Hashanah. It's part of the Nusach HaTilah of the 10 Pesukim of Shofar. We know that we have 30 Pesukim on Rosh Hashanah. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And each section of the Nusach HaTfilah of Yom Nerav Musaf has 10 Pesukim. So this is one of the 10 Pesukim of Shofros. The Pasuk says, called Yoshvei Sevel, all of the inhabitants of the Sevel, we had that word many times, it means the world, the inhabited world, the Shochnei Aretz, and those that dwell, simply means those that dwell in the earth, Kinsone Sarim Tiru, when you see, let's read it backwards, when you see the raising of the flag on the mountains, Uch Vichiskoya Shofar Tishmohu, and when you hear the blowing of the shofar. Now, in the context, what the Pasuk is telling is, the Pasuk is rebuking Gog Magog. Why are you sending messengers to Eretz Yisrael to see and to report if it's true that the Jewish people have returned to their homeland? Don't you realize it's obvious? The whole world knows that this is the fact. The shofar has been blown, the flag has been raised, the Jewish people have returned. So what's the foolishness of sending messengers, tzirim, and malachim, messengers to the Holy Land to see if this is true? That's what the simple pasuk is telling us, called Yoshvei Sevel, the entire earth, and the inhabitants of the earth, they will see, they will hear. They will hear and they will see the sound of the shofar and the flag being raised, kibbutz golios, therefore it's obvious you're foolish in what your attempt of sending messengers. Okay, that's what the pasuk means in the context, but it's also alluding to the fact that the time will come, time of Mashiach, when there will be a double calling. There will be a calling with sight and with sound. Just like by Matan Tarv Chol Ha'am, Royim Es HaKoylos. There were two senses. There was the sense of seeing and the sense of sound. And the two were combined, whatever that means. Here as well, we have the same two senses being used to restore Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. There is sight, tiru, the flag, some type of flag, and there is the sound of the shofar. Some midrashim take this, the double expression of Yoshvei Sevel, referring to the living. That when Mashiach comes, the living, those that are fortunate to be alive at the time of Mashiach, they are called the Yoshvei Sevel. And the Shoichnei Aretz refers to the dead. Tchias HaMesim. Those that live in the earth, not just livers upon the earth, so then when the Pasuk says, Kinsonei Sarim Tiru, when it says that they will see, that refers to the living. The living will see the flag, they will return to Eretz Yisrael. When it says they will hear the sound of the shofar, that refers to the dead. The dead will hear the sound of the shofar and will come back to life and return to Eretz Yisrael. That is one interpretation of this pasuk. Okay. Okay. Now we go to pasuk Dalet. Ki choyam Hashem elai. Hashem says to me, and this pasuk, it seems very unusual that here Hashem now is speaking privately to Yeshaya. In other words, this was not meant at the point when Hashem said, expressed this idea to be told to the entire world. It was said probably to Yeshaya. Hashem said, Eshkota, I will have rest. They're different. All will be quiet. There are different interpretations of how it's used here. Here it means, according to the Mitzudas, it means menucha. I will have rest. The abita, and I will look bim choni in my abode. Now that refers to the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem says that I will have, at the time of Mashiach, I will completely remove myself from involvement in any other thing but to give reward and have satisfaction from what is taking place among Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. I will give Klal Yisrael my full attention. I will rest, kaviyachol, from my other activities. We don't know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is always involved in giving existence and giving life and in the world, Hashkacha Pratis. But to the person, to an observer, it would appear that Kadosh Baruch Hu, now the intensity of how Kadosh Baruch Hu is caring and is concerned and is involved in the Beis Hamikdash and in Klal Yisrael, who are resting there, it will appear as if Kadosh Baruch Hu is having rest. He is removing himself from involvement from other world affairs, only to focus on the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael in the Beis Hamikdash. I will have rest from my other activities, the abita, and I will gaze intensely, bim choni, choni means my dwelling place, the Beis Hamikdash, and I will give reward to the Jewish people, I will take care of them, and I will listen to their prayers, and so on and so forth, all the various things which will happen in the time of Mashiach. And it will be like the pleasure that the Jewish people will experience. The Pasuk here compares to two things. It's not exactly clear why these two things, but it will be kichom tzach, like a clear heat, alei or. Now, or is a very unusual word, and or normally means light. Lahidu ma'isa ora, or is light. But here it doesn't mean light. Here it means rain. It means one of two. It either means rain or it means vegetables. The or word or is used differently in different contexts. That's what it says here. It says here that it means rain. It brings psukim. It brings. Let me just find the.
Like
Yorera malkosh. Okay, very good. Yorera malkosh. The early rains. Yorera is in yonei matar. And I think the Radak, I don't have a Radak here, but I was looking before the Radak, I think it says he brings a Pasuk in Malachim where he refers to Yarok. The word Or is also the reference is used in Tanakh. What?
Vegetables.
Vegetables. So here what it means is a clear heat upon vegetables, which means there are different types of heat. There is heat that is humid, humidity. And then there is the heat that's not, it's a pleasant, it's or it's very beneficial. The Gemara says that if the sun comes out, there's wind, and I guess the sun begins to shine after the rain, that is, it's a wonderful type of experience, because after it rains, there's no more humidity. The humidity has already been exhausted in the rain. When it's a hot summer day and it's extremely humid, tropical weather, the heat is very unpleasant. But after it rains, and then there are rays of light, the sun is shining, it's a dry heat. And in combination with the fact that the earth is moist from the rain, it is very beneficial for the world. That's the type of life we will experience, or the world will experience, at the time of Mashiach, when Hashem reveals Himself after the defeat of Gog Magog. This period of time will be like one more time. It will be like the Choyim Tzach. The Tzach means clear, a clear heat. In this context, I think it means void of humidity. There is no humidity. Aleir that comes after the rain is over. Or others learn it means that it comes upon the vegetables, which is very beneficial for the vegetable. Clear heat, without humidity, that Hashem sends down upon vegetables is very beneficial for the development of the vegetables. Others learn alei or means daybreak, in the morning, the early morning. If you get up early in the morning, it's always a pleasure. Alei tashachar, when the sun begins to. The rays of the sun, when we first, like even sunrise, nates, in the early morning, it's still cool. You get to midday, the later, as the day continues, the heat of the day is more, there's more humidity, it's oppressive. But early in the morning, when there's still some degree of the coldness of the night, the combination of sunrise, the rays of the sun early in the morning with what's left over from in the environment from the evening has a certain, is a pleasure. We all, we all experience this. Early in the morning it feels good when to see the sunrise, it's a very clear, it's a clear heat early in the morning. So that's the third interpretation of what it means here. Alei or, or means daybreak. As soon as Neitzacham Alei Sashachar, or Neitzacham is sunrise, that those rays of sun are very beneficial. That's what the world will experience at this time. And then it gives another example, Ki'ol Tal, like a cloud of dew, Bichom Kotsir, in the heat of the harvest. Rashi and the Mitzvahs explain the same thing, that when in the harvest in the summertime, when or in the summer harvest, it's extremely hot, and the workers go out into the field and they harvest the crop. It's very uncomfortable. But every so often there is a cloud of dew. I'm not sure exactly what this means. Tal is not harmful for the summer crop. Rain is. Once the crop has nurtures developed, has, and it's ready for harvest, if it will rain, the rain will cause the crop to rot. So the farmer is petrified, they're scared that it should not rain at this critical moment of time when they harvest their crop. On the other hand, they can use some rain because they are exhausted and they are dehydrated from the intense heat of the summer when they harvest the crop. If they will have the good fortune of having what's called a cloud of dew, I'm not sure exactly what this means. It could be maybe just it means a natural occurrence, or in the evening there are dew, there is a dew, and they go out to the fields, they are refreshed. They have the best of both worlds, because dew is not detrimental to the summer crop. It's not going to cause them. On the other hand, the dew is, there's enough moisture in the dew to refresh the farmer who is busy harvesting the crop. So you have the best of both worlds. And that's what it's saying over here, is that when Mashiach comes, it will be like an ov of tal, like a cloud of dew, bichom kotsir, in the intense heat of the summer heat of the harvest. It's the best of both worlds. The tal will not cause harm to the crop, but the moisture will refresh the farmer who is dehydrated and exhausted in the summer heat. So that's what the world will be. Time Mashiach will have the, well, this is obviously a metaphor, there is deeper meaning here. The best of both worlds will come to the world, and to specifically to the Jewish people. And now we come to Pasuk. This Pasuk, as I explained, is a reference, the way I explained was, is a reference to Hashem. Hashem, we, Pesukim here are jumping around. We're talking about the general theme of the Perek is Gog u'Magog. And we're talking about Gog u'Magog, they're sending messengers to see if it's really true. We have not yet got to the part of the Pasuk where Gog u'Magog attacks. All we've had here in this Pasuk is that Gog u'Magog is aware that Mashiach has come, or some, this process of Mashiach has begun, and the Jewish people are returning to their land, and they are very disturbed. How could that be? How could it be that the Jewish people are returning to the land, this nation? Is it really true? They send messengers in these swift, lightweight boats to see if it's true. Hashem rebukes them. What are you sending messengers? It's obvious. You don't believe it. The whole world sees that it's true, that Mashiach has come, or the process has begun. And then suddenly, the pasuk shifts, and Hashem says, this is going to be a wonderful time in the history of the world. At this time, I'm going to remove myself from any other occupation. I'm going to only focus on giving reward and benefit to the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And the benefit's going to be so great, it's going to be like this metaphor of the rain, the clear heat, and the cloud of Tal. That's one approach. Another approach is that this pasuk is now referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is referring to Gog u'Magog. And the Gog u'Magog is going to say, we are determined to destroy the Jewish people. And they say to themselves, we will rest from any other occupation that we are busy with. In other words, we're not going to focus on the economy. We're not going to focus on the environment. We're not going to focus on the price of oil. The Gog u'Magog is saying, there's only one thing we're going to busy ourselves with. We're going to destroy Klal Yisrael. And despite the fact that it's very hot outdoors, it's the heat is intense, and it's not a time to go to war. It doesn't matter. Just like a farmer was willing to be moiser nefesh to harvest his crop in the intense heat of the summer, no matter against all odds, against in this context, against even if there's a cloud of tal and there is intense heat, it doesn't matter. The farmer knows that his life depends. This is his parnasa. This is the parnasa. This is what he's going to do, and at all costs, he's going to go out into the field to harvest his crop. That is how Goy Gomag is going to react. That's how they're going to behave at this point in time. They are going to be quiet. This interpretation, the pasuk is referring not to Hashem, but to Goy Gomag. So is Hashem to me. Esh Kota refers to Hashem. Says, this is what Goy Gomag will say. I will be quiet. I will have rest from any other activity that I am busy with. And the Abita Bimchoni, and I will look at my dwelling place. Here he refers to, and I'm not exactly sure how Bimchoni means my dwelling place. Goy Gomag maybe is saying that it's going to be ours. We're going to conquer the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to go out and destroy it. And we're going to go out and conquer all, despite the fact that it's very difficult, there is intense heat, and there is a cloud of tal, which in this interpretation is an impediment to their ability to easily overcome the Yerushalayim. Doesn't matter, they're still going to be determined to conquer, and that's what they will do. Okay, let's go now to Pasuk Hey. Hashem, now it says, Kilifnei Kotsir Kisam Perach, before the harvest. Now this is interpreted to mean, again, this is a very difficult sukkah, and the interpretation is not clear, especially since it has not yet happened in any shape or form, so we don't really know what it means. But the way the Mefarshim explained is that there is a process of geula unfolding. It doesn't happen one day. One day Mashiach Seer, the next day, within 24 hours, the whole Klai Shol is now in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone's living in a nice dira, and everyone is in Kollel, and everyone has Parnassa, and all the problems of the world are solved. It's not like that. That's not the way. It's a process. The process has begun. What has happened? I don't know. Has Mashiach come? There's a Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Something has happened, and the process has begun, and a good part of the Jewish people already have arrived in Eretz Yisrael, have settled there, have made Aliyah, and the Yemos HaMashiach is beginning, that has already, is in full motion, up to the point where it's almost complete. Whatever this means, in this long process of Yemos HaMashiach, the process is complete. It's before the harvest. The end of the process is called the harvest. It's right before the end. And now, and how do we describe for the end? Ki lefnei kotzir, before the harvest is complete. Kisam perach, when the flower, kisam means complete, perach is the flower. When the flower already we're comparing Mashiach to a budding flower, to a vegetable, to a some type of produce, which first produces a flower and then produces the fruit. The flower already has completed. Uvoser is a grape. Govoser is the process of the development of grapes. Gomel means to wean. A child nurses for 2 years. So after the child finishes nursing, it's called Biyom Hi Gomelas Yitzchak, when Yitzchak completed the weaning process. Uvoser, and the grapes, the process of the development of grapes, Gomel Yihye Nitza. Nitza means its flower. Its flower will be complete. It's at the time when the process is nearing completion. Nearing completion. Let's maybe see the words of the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David says, Ki lefnei kotzir, lefnei bo eis ha-kotzir, before the time when the harvest comes, kisam perach, when the flower is complete, kishayatem ha-perach, when the flower is complete, v'yiyah koroiv lehispashel, when the flower is complete, it does not mean that the fruit of the tree or this item is complete, it means it's right about ready to be 100% mature. Uvoser gomel yenitza rotzuloymar kishayiya hanetz boiser, when the flower of the grape hanigmal meat completes, it's matures little by little. Until right before the moment when the grapes are completely ripened. So what's going to happen? Suddenly, that's when they will attack. That is when the nation of Goyg u'Magog will attack Klal Yisrael at the end of the process of Geula, and miraculously, they will be defeated. Hashem will step in and destroy Goyg u'Magog. V'choras hazal zalim b'mazmeros. At that moment in time, Hashem will cut them off. Well, now the zalzalim refers to the branches. It refers to, simply it means yonkos, it means the young branches. It means lashon of zal, lashon of it's something that's lowly. These lowly branches will be cut off. B'maz meros means the pruning utensil. V'yes hanitishos. Nitishos, there's a machlok Rashi and the Mesudas sword. Nitishos Rashi says it means the roots. The roots of the branches.
The word vayitosh.
Vayitosh, to uproot. The roots, the Mesudas says it means the larger branches. But it refers to different parts of, it's a metaphor for the nation of Goyg u'Magog, either the simple soldiers or the generals and the princes and the sarim. Hesir hesas. These are two words which mean the same thing. They'll be completely uprooted and obliterated. Hesir means to remove. Hesas means also to mean to be cut. Krisa, to cut, to be removed, to be obliterated. Two words mean the same thing. At this moment in time, that is when finally the nation of Goyg u'Magog will be wiped off the face of the earth, which implies that that's when they're going to attack. So we have over here something very interesting. We have a process of Gula, and during this process, the Jewish people are developing, they're settling the land, and they are doing Hashem's will. And right before the end of this process is when Goyg u'Magog will attack. And at that moment in time, Hashem will come to their rescue and completely wipe them out. Now this is not, I don't think this is the way typically we understand. He's talking about Mashiach. We think that Goyg, yes, the average person, including myself, yes, you think about Goyg u'Magog is that it's going to be a Milcham Goyg u'Magog, like in our times. We maybe consider that has the Gula process started? I don't know. Some will tell yes, some will tell you no. Right now it's going to happen, Goyg u'Magog. And then after Goyg u'Magog, then Mashiach will come. Then we'll usher in the beginning of a whole new era. It's not really the way it's presented here, at least according to the simple interpretation. There is already a very significant process of Geula that will be obvious to all that has happened. Maybe today we can say, I mean, I don't know, it's all a matter of interpretation. Are we in that process of Geula today? Eretz Yisrael is in Jewish hands, and they're almost going to be soon, if we're not already, there are more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael than there are Jews living in diaspora. Is this and then, at the very, very end, just about as the Geula will be considered complete, things are really falling into place, all of a sudden there's a nation that will attack. And then Hashem will step in, miraculously cut them off, obliterate them to the point where they no longer exist. Yepasik Vav, what will happen to this nation, Goyg u'Magog? Ye'ozvu yachtav, this nation, Goyg u'Magog, will be abandoned. All of them, every single one of these people, these citizens, those that are part of Goyg u'Magog will be abandoned. Le'eit horim, eight means a vulture, to the vultures of the mountains. And to the animals of the earth. The kots Allah for ayat. The kots means the summer. Kots means that the vulture will feed off the soldiers of Goyg u'Magog for the entire summer season. The winter season. And the animals will eat their flesh for the entire winter season. So this, the many Mamar Chazal, the basic rule is that the din, the punishment of Goyg u'Magog will last for 12 months. There are a number of things where Chazal said that a person's punishment is 12 months. One is the neshama. The neshama, after it leaves this world, has a din in Shemayim. Gehenim is not more than 12 months. Another example Chazal give is Goyg Umog. Goyg Umog, their punishment for what they have tried to do to Klal Yisrael, to destroy the Jewish people, the time of Geula will be for 12 months. And we learn that from this pasuk here, because it says that they will suffer, their bodies will be consumed by the birds, the vultures, and by the animals for the summer season, which lasts 6 months, and the winter season, which is 6 months, for a total of 12 months. For 12 months, they will be food for the animals and for the creatures of the earth. That will be their punishment. Now, it's important to take note that there are well-known Amari Chazal that tell us that Goy Gumog will merit Kvura, because it all comes back to the time of Noach. Noach had three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafes, and they took the garment. Shem and Yafes took the garment when they saw that Noach was uncovered. He was not wearing clothing after he became intoxicated when the Mabul was over. They took garments and they covered up. Shem and Yefes took a garment and they walked backwards and they covered their father. Chazal tell us, who is a descendant of Yefes? Goyg Umagog. And because Goyg Umagog was kind to cover their father, that was Derech Eretz, Hashem rewarded the descendants of Yefes, namely Goyg Umagog, that they will be buried, that they will have dignity, that their bodies will be buried in the earth, will also be covered in a dignified way. And now, so that's the problem is, but it says over here that the animals will eat their flesh. So really, to the weird, it says that they will be buried, that's really mentioned in Sefer Zechari. Zechari wanted to trey Asar. There's another parallel Nebuah referring to Goyg Umagog. I think there's also some allusion to this in Yecheskel. Speaks about Goyg Umagog, but there it's clear that they will be buried. Here, Yeshayah does not mention, in his prophecy, did not see their bodies being buried. But how could it not be? We have to assume that there's no disagreement. Many times the Midrashim we have to not fool ourselves. There are many times where there are disagreements among the Midrashim, what will be, conflicts. But simply, this is not a conflict, so we have to answer that there will be different stages. Indeed, they will suffer for 12 months, they will be exposed, and their bodies will be food for the birds and for the animals, but a time will come where they will eventually be buried at the conclusion of 12 months. But here it does mention that this will be their punishment. Pasuk Zayin, Bo'esahi at that time. So now the Geula will continue. Now that Goyg Umagog has come to an end, the attack has been unsuccessful, they have been destroyed, and their bodies are going to be food for the birds and for the animals for 12 months. At this point, the entire world will come to recognize the superiority of the Jewish people. This concludes like the end of time. It's a very scary pasuk. Bo'esahi at that time, and this really goes back to the beginning of the pasuk at that time, the Yuval Shai. Shai is a very beautiful word. It means a gift. Shai. Shai Lamora, a gift to the teacher, to the master. Yuval Shai La Hashem Tzivakos. At this time, a Yuval means will be brought a gift to Hashem Tzivakos. What? Now, there are different interpretations. Let's learn very simple. This is an idea that has been brought out before a few times. The gift. What could you possibly give as a gift to Hashem? Hashem has everything. Right, they always during the holiday season, you always see the advertisements. The right gift. It's not so easy to give a gift. They have to give the right gift. Everyone, there's things you don't want the person to return the gift. What could you give Hashem? Hashem created the world. The ultimate. What could you give Klal Yisrael? Right, Obama just gave Netanyahu gave Obama Megillah. Okay, he's getting. No, it's getting better. Obama, when he first became president, so he gave Queen Elizabeth, he gave him a collection of DVDs. So I think over the last 4 years, 3 years, I think he's progressed. They don't give. So the other way around, I'm making a mistake. Here it's Netanyahu giving Obama, not Obama giving. Right? But you give a gift. What do you give? What is the gift that you can give a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So over here, the gift is to give them a Jewish neshama, that Mashiach is here, Everyone, it's clear as day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. The Jewish people have been loyal to Hashem throughout the history of the world. And now you have the nation of the world. They want to give a gift. What are they going to do? They're going to go through the records. They're going to take out all the records. The CIA is going to be trying to figure out which American citizen is really a Jew. This person probably doesn't even know that he's a Jew. But we have the resources to examine the Yichus DNA and so on and so forth, and we can determine that if this person is really a Jewish neshama. It's a lost soul. Doesn't even know that his mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, they're all Jewish. He's an Einikol from who knows, from the Baal Shem Tov, from the Gra, and he's totally not observant. But he's Jewish. They're going to take him, they're going to pluck him, they're going to put him on a plane, first-class ticket, and send him to Eretz Yisrael and say, this is one of yours! Chaval, he got lost. He came to Golis. He was here in America. He was here in this country, that country, all these years, and he was assimilated. He got caught up in the culture, and he abandoned his religion. But he's one of yours. He's a Jewish soul. Take him back. This is the gift we're giving to you, Hashem. We're giving to you, Melech HaMashiach. The ultimate gift you can give to Hashem and the Melech HaMashiach is to return the lost Jewish souls that are dispersed in the Arba Kanfos Aretz. And that's what the Pasuk says here. This is according to one interpretation. Yeah.
Question is, if Gog Umago represents that all the nations, or United Nations, whatever you want to say.
Not necessarily. Gog Umago is
Eretz Yisrael that attacked
the There's no one left.
People, then who
it will be left.
Are these folks?
So I'm not sure if that's 100% correct that Gog Umag is the entire world. Gog Umag is one isolated nation. It's maybe a collection of nations, but it's not the entire world. I don't believe that Gog Umag is the entire world. Gog Umag is just a small group of people that attack, that are enemies to the Jewish people. When they are destroyed, there's a lot of the world, there's the rest of the world is still here. Most of the world is non-Jewish, and most of the world will remain, and they will be inspired, and they will come to return to, they won't have their part in acknowledging that Hashem is the Melech of the world. And they're going to do so through the guidance and through the direction of the Jewish people. And now they're going to want to give a gift to the Jewish people. What are they going to give? They're going to give the lost souls. So, Bo'esahi Yuval Shaila Hashem Tzvakos. What will be the gift? The Pasuk asks. The gift is the Jewish people. How do we describe the Jewish people? This goes back to the beginning of the paragraph. We repeat the entire Pasuk. It's not exact, but the words are very similar. The entire Pasuk. Here we describe who are the Jewish people. They are an Am, a nation, Mimushach Umarat. They have been persecuted. They have been pulled from one corner of the earth to the other corner of the world. Umarat, they've been plucked from one nation to the other nation. Umayam, and they are... And they are also, now if you want to see, this is where it's a little bit different. In the previous pasuk, it did not say the word vav mem, just as am. So here it means you have to learn that this goes back on the gift. And they will give as the Jewish souls that come from a nation, umayam. The gift will be the souls of the people, the souls of people that are from an am, that is noira. That is also, as we explained yesterday, the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always continuously redeemed from their troubles, min hu, from the day of their existence, v'hola, and onward. Goy, they are a nation that's kav, that always yearns for Hashem. Or the other interpretation we learned, they were a lowly nation, they have been always persecuted, they have always been despised, or the nation always has suffered measure for measure. Umivusa, despite the fact, we'll go back to their other interpretation, their nation that yearns Hashem, despite the fact they've been trampled upon. Asher bozu nehorim artso, many rivers have plundered their land. And this gift will be brought, where will it be brought? El mekoyim shem Hashem tzvakos, to the place. This gift will be deposited in the Beis HaMikdash, in Eretz Yisrael, the place of the Shem Hashem Tzvakos, which is nothing other than Har Tzion. Okay, so we'll conclude with one interesting idea, Shai. Yuvel Shai Lamor. We know that, I'm sure you've all gone to see Mishnayis, and the last Mishnah Masech to Uksin is, Osa Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Hanech L'Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shai Olamos. Shin Yud. Shai Olamos. So there is definitely a parallel between the reward Hashem will give every tzaddik to 310 worlds. No one knows what that means. What is 310? Well, it's hard enough to manage what happens on this block, Avenue L, Ocean Parkway. You need 310 worlds. It's a lot of trouble out there. What does it mean? No one knows what this means. But okay, that's what it says. So here also, Shai, the Suntai parallel. There is a very beautiful word that Shai is Rosh Tevos for Yiras Shamayim. Backwards. Shin Yud. Yud is Yira, Shin is Shamayim. The ultimate gift you can give a Kodesh Baruch Hu is to show that you are a Yorei Shamayim. So here you can interpret this loosely as Yuvel Shai Lashem Tzivakos. The nations of the world will bring the gift of Yiras Shamayim. They will come to acknowledge that we now fear Hashem. And by fearing Hashem, we will do what is proper in allowing the Jewish people to properly serve Hashem within all the resource that we have and all of everything that the world has to offer. Another idea, I saw this from Shimon Shrub, he alludes to this. I don't know exactly what he means, but maybe we should extrapolate, we can develop this a little bit further. Is Shai refers to the tefillin. Now, in the tefillah Shel Rosh, we have two shins. We have the shin of the three heads, and we have the shin of the four heads. So shin is the three heads. When you add another, the shin has three yuds, right? Top of the shin has three yuds. Mm-hmm. And then there's shai, there's another yud, a fourth yud. So the two together, on one side of the tefillah Shel Rosh, you have three shins, the regular shin. On the other side, it's really shai. When you look at your tefillin, on one side is shin, the other side is shai. Because it's shin is three, plus the fourth yud. A fourth yud, four yuds. It's not the real letter shin. Some said it's not really a shin. It's a Kabbalistic symbol. It looks like a shin. It's not, there's many questions because today's the Sefer, they make it look like a real shin with a tagim. Not necessarily. Some learn that it's a Kabbalistic sign, happens to look like a shin. It's four heads, three heads. And that's really what shai is. Shai is, shin is three, and the yud is the fourth. What is the shin? V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikru alecha v'yadu mimecha. That time, Yuvel Shai LaHashem Tzivakos. At that time, we interpret the pasuk, who's going to bring the gift? The Jewish people will give the gift. The Jewish people will finally come to a state of Kav Yochel, they're wearing the Tefillah Shel Rosh with the Shai. That will be the gift that the Ame Mushuch Mord will bring to Hashem. They will finally put on the tefillin, the symbolic tefillin of the Shai, which is the four heads, what?
Crowns.
The four crowns, and that represents the whole world. I think it's a very interesting idea to put the Shai is really the four heads of the crowns of the shin. Another idea, which needs to be developed, I'm just throwing out ideas, raw ideas, which you have to think about and develop on your own, and that is the tefillin is Shakai. The shin of the shin, the every bar mitzvah pilpul, I'm sure you all heard, the shin, and then there is the dalid, the keshel tefillin, the dalid, and the yud is shakai. In this world, again, it's a raw, abstract idea, in this world we have already the dalid. How do we have the dalid? Last week's parasha. Hashem said, harei nos kvoidecha, Moshe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me kvoidecha. No, you can't see my front, v'ru'isa es achoro, you can see my back. And what did Hashem show? Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin, the dalid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the Dalit. And what that means, we have the Dal. Again, this is abstract.
What you said on Friday, it means a mixture.
Okay, right, but I am problematized. I'm throwing something very raw. But we're still missing Hashem's name, the Shin and the Yud. At that time, Yuval Shai LaHashem Tzivakos. We will bring... When Hashem gave us, it also means that we give Hashem, we appreciate it. So by Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's considered we bring to Hashem. Again, we have to develop it, but Shai is the Shin and the Yud, not the Dalit. The Dalit, Kav Yochel, in the history of the world, if we deserve the coming of Mashiach, Kav Yochel, we have given Hashem already the Dalit. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu what the Dalit is all about. Our tafkid in this world, until the coming of Mashiach, is to develop the Dalit, to give Hashem the Dalit. is to work on the dollar. Because Hashem said, you know, I don't want you to look at my Rosh. I want you, Harenina, this is what you're going to be able to appreciate in this world, the Dalit. Work on it. Work on it. The whole history of this world is we're giving Hashem the Dalit. We're giving Hashem the Dalit. That's what Hashem instructed Moshe to do. Now when Mashiach comes, we're living in a different world. We're living in the world that we have no understanding of. Now we're going to give Hashem the Shin and the Yud. To be mashed on the Shem Hashem. What that means, I don't know. This is something which has to be developed and understood. But these are different interpretations. Who's giving the gift? Is it the nation of the world that's giving the gift? Is the Jewish people giving the gift? What does it mean, Shai? Shai means the gift. Shai can mean Yira Shemayim. Shai is a parallel to what we say in the end of Seidim Sefto Uksin of Shai Olamos, 310 worlds. Whatever it means over there, it can mean over here. We don't know what it means over there. It could mean the four crowns of the Tzvila Shal Rosh, Shai, three heads, plus the Yud, Vero Kol Am Yoreski Shem Hashem Nikolach of Yarmeka, and it could mean the Shin and the Yud, because the Dalid we've already given of the Shem of Shakai. Okay, we'll stop here. Up to Parak Yutes.